Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23. The Bible said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful," boy, ain't that good, "and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide." The weak. You realize when you get the law of God in your heart, it helps your steps. Do you see that right there? It said the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. It is the word of God when it is placed and hid in our heart that makes it able for us to serve God, makes us able to live for God. Not that we won't mess up, but friend, that we're going to continue that to live for him. Verse 32, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight thanking you and that for another wonderful opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that went to Calvary and died for us. And what a Savior is he tonight. Thank you and that for saving us. And Lord, we ask tonight as we preach now for a little while, we're certainly going to need help. I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give us power in that from on high. Lord, that you'd just touch us and anoint us afresh tonight with the Word of God. That those that are here that need help, those that need instruction, those that need to come and get saved, that I pray that you would just deal with their heart and move upon them with the Word of God by the Holy Spirit tonight. Now, Lord, again, we want to tell you again how much we love you and thank you for what you've done for us. Meet with us now and save that sinner's nearest help for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. We look in Psalms chapter 37 as the psalmist writes here and talks about that how that the Lord will take care and that of his people. And I want to preach tonight, as I almost preached this message this morning, I want to preach tonight having a thought that, on that we can take him at his word. It may seem like a strange text, and it does to me too, to draw out of this with this thought tonight. But can I say that, friend, that we can take God at his word. We take the Lord Jesus Christ for what he says tonight, and we can believe it. You've heard many times folks say, "Just believe me," or "Just trust me," and sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't. But when the word of God and that says it, we can believe it tonight. Psalms chapter 33, he said, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Hey, you and me cannot find one thing wrong with the Word of God. You can't find a time where it has ever let you down. You can't find a time where God has ever slipped up on his Word and it's messed up, or that he's contradicted it, or it's found to be untrue. God's Word is always true tonight. He said, "Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar." Hey, listen tonight. When folk think that they have found something wrong with the Word of God, there is something wrong with them. Hey, when there is something, friend, that I disagree with in the Word of God, it's not the Word's problem, but it's my problem tonight. I tell you how much God loves His Word, and we just heard this scripture the other day. I listened. God said He would not hold those guiltless that take His name in vain. But in Psalms 138, He said, I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. And so he sees his word greater than his very name tonight. And let me say that he's got a name that is great. Amen. Listen, and so we find the greatness of God's word. But I want to preach for just a minute or two in taking God at his word. You look in verse 25 right here. Most of us know this verse. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. Can I say that first of all, number one, I've taken God at his word tonight. As that friend, once you're saved, you're his. Let me say that you belong and that to the Heavenly Father. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You no longer not belong to the Satan. Listen, John 8:44, he told those Pharisees over there, you're the father of the devil. Hey, I'm glad he's no longer my father. I've been birthed and born into and adopted into the family of God. And I no longer belong and that to the devil tonight. Listen, but once you get saved, you're his. You cannot and that be lost again. Ain't that a wonderful thought tonight? Bless folks' hearts that, listen, that believe that they can get saved today and lost tomorrow. That would be a pitiful type of salvation. Well, if I thought that I had to work to keep it and do some kind of good work and that to stay saved, I would have messed that thing up a long time ago. I'd have quit a long time ago. You know what? There'd be no peace or joy in your heart tonight if you thought you could lose your salvation. Amen. How do you know which sin that you lose your salvation on and which sin you got to keep it on? Because I hate to tell you, no, I don't hate to tell you, but I'll be honest with you tonight, there's a lot of folk that are trying, and we shouldn't, let me see how I can say this without messing it up. Listen, we should live perfect tonight, but I'm going to tell you, as long as we're in this flesh, we're not going to attain perfection. Not in this flesh. It's going to mess up. I mean, why? For this thing ain't saved tonight. But see, your salvation is not in your flesh. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he done at Calvary tonight. Listen, once you get saved, you see him and that by the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I got sealed when I got saved. I got birthed into the family of God, put into the family of God, sealed into the family of God, and I'm his. Hey, listen, when I got sealed, I'm protected. When I got sealed, I had a stamp of approval put on me. When I got sealed, I became his. I am nobody else's. I'm his tonight. You realize salvation is possessive. He possesses me, and I possess him. I take him at his word tonight. We sung that old song in the choir, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. How can you make that statement tonight? What tells you that Jesus is yours tonight? What tells you that you are his? Why, the Word of God does. He says over here, listen, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. You know, once you get saved, you're his and you're saved forever. Ephesians 1 said, in whom you also trusted, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Had to believe. He said, after that you believed. Did you believe? That's what it takes to get saved. It takes faith in your heart, believing that Jesus could save you. He said, preacher, we do get accused of easy believism a lot of times in the Baptist church. We really do, because we have no amount of work that we say that could save anybody. Easy believism is where you walk up to somebody and say, would you like to go to heaven? And they say yes, and you say, well, repeat this prayer after me. And if God ain't dealing with their heart, there's no amount of praying is going to help. You realize to get saved, God's got to deal with your heart tonight. I mean, God has to stir in a man or a woman boy's heart, and that for them to get saved, God must be dealing with them. That's why the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 55 that to call on him while he was near, you know. Preached on that Friday night. Listen, he said, you must believe. I'm glad that it does not matter who comes. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in all wise cast out. It does not matter who you are, who you were, friend, what you've done. No matter amount of sin that you've committed, listen, from the worst person sitting in the prison to the best person that's sitting on the church pew tonight, God can save you. I'm glad God still saves sinners tonight. You remember when God saved you? Remember where you was and how he found you? But you had to believe and trust him. John chapter 11, as he's talking to Martha over there, and he's talking about Lazarus and talking about the resurrection, and Jesus asked Martha a simple question, do you believe that your brother shall live again? And she tells the Lord, she says, Lord, I believe that he'll live again during the resurrection. She knew something that some people don't even believe today. Amen. She knew something about that. And here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though we were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You know what he's saying? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Listen tonight, I'm glad that I can take him at his word. Amen. Hey, listen, he said if you'd come and get saved, I'll save you. If you'll come and ask, I'll save you. And then I'll seal you and I'll keep you for all eternity and I'll never leave you. Ain't that wonderful tonight? Hey, friends and family, forsake us and leave us and turn their back on us. But Christ Jesus the Lord will never do that. I'm so glad of that tonight. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. The psalmist says, I've seen some things over my years. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. We may not be rich tonight physically, but I tell you one thing, God will take care of his people. He always takes care of his people. Listen, tonight, I'm glad that I'm in him and I'm saved in him and I'm kept in him. And even Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 said, and you are complete in him. Listen, I'm complete. There's not anything else that I need besides Christ in my life tonight. Amen. I've got everything I need in him by taking at his word. You can take him at his word. Once you get saved, you become his. You become a possession and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you and then he keeps you. What was it he said in John chapter 10? In John chapter 10, as he's talking about his sheep over there, he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they know me. Look what he said first of all. It was possessive. My sheep. Amen. My sheep. Ain't that something tonight? Hey, listen, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus said, I know each of my sheep tonight, and I would dare say that he knows each of them and each of us by name tonight. Hey, I believe tonight that if the very hairs of our head are numbered, I believe tonight that he knows your name. Amen. Amen. He knows you tonight. And let me say that if you're lost and undone without Christ, listen, he knows you too. And he knows you need to get saved. But tonight, I'm glad that he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. So he calls out to them. And as he calls out, he said, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We're kept and that by the power of God. We're saved in him and by him and through him. And listen tonight, I can take him at his word. But that's it tonight. How do you know you saved tonight? Now I know what I've got on the inside. I know how it feels. I listen, but friend, I'm going to tell you, feelings come and feelings go, but it's by the Word of God that I trust tonight that He said He would do what He said He'd do. That's all I know tonight. I can take Him at His Word. How many of y'all taking Him at His Word tonight? How about in salvation? How about in the fact that He's going to keep you? How about in the fact that He's going to keep you till the very end? Saved unto the day of redemption. You go back to Ephesians 1 and we quoted that. That Holy Spirit that He sealed us with was the earnest of the inheritance. He gave us the Holy Spirit and that till He comes to get us. Amen. So He said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed a begging bread. But I want you to see number two tonight. Not only once you get saved are you His, but number two tonight, when it looks bad, and maybe it is bad, you can take Him at His word. Look at verse 32. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I found this very interesting as I read this verse over and over and over from this morning till today, that he said in verse 32 that the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Why would the wicked want to slay the righteous? What has the righteous done to the wicked? See, there is a comparison. There is a, I'm trying to figure out how you say it. I guess just to compare, it's what it's going to have to be tonight, is there is a comparison here between the righteous and the wicked, or a division between them, friend. And notice he says, and seeketh to slay him. Now, why would the wicked want to do that? Because they're wicked tonight. You've not done anything to them. You've not done anything against them. You've not done anything to hurt them. But friends, simply because you serve God, are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are serving Him, the wicked are against us. Is not Satan against you tonight? I mean, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, more about seeking whom he may devour. And listen, he's got his people. He's got his people in places and that to try to devour us and hurt us. You find out through all the Scripture, through the New Testament, through the early church, all the way up to now, we see that there are times of persecution for righteous living. The wicked watch the righteous, and they simply watch them to slay them. As time rolls on in our nation and in this world, there is no doubt that the church is going to be under persecution for more and more of what we preach and what we teach. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It's no great thing if the world hates you tonight. Can I tell you tonight, there's a lot of people in church trying to hook up with the world tonight. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot be saved and act like the world, look like the world, dress like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. Hey, they don't want you around them tonight. And you shouldn't want to be out there.
was the old Nazarene preacher that they took out years ago, and they took him and that through all of New York City, and they let him see all the grandos and that of what that city had, all the lights, all the buildings, everything that was the hustle and bustle of that city. And they said when he got back to his hotel room that he got down on his knees and he said, "Lord, I thank you that there wasn't one thing that I saw today that I wanted." Ain't that something tonight? How many of us could say that? As we go and we look at the world, and we could go back to our home and get down on our knees and thank God that there wasn't one thing out there that I wanted. You can't hook up with the world and try to serve the Lord at the same time. You're going to have to pick a side and stay on it. Because it's one or the other tonight. No man can serve two masters. He'll love one and hate the other, cleave to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen tonight, friend, pick your side and let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 3 said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The early church and that lived and that under persecution constantly because of what they preached and what they taught. And the more that Satan tried to stamp out the fire and that of the church, the embers just spread and spread and spread. Every time he stamped on it, embers blowed and God set the world on fire by men and women that loved him and told all about him. But where are we today? There are no more embers, and the fires are burning out. But the Lord will not leave us when it looks bad. The Lord will help us when it looks bad. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as the Apostle Paul has warned about Alexander, he said, "Beware of him." And he come down in verse 16 and he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear." Boy, that's what Paul was concerned with. "And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." There that preservation is again. "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We're not preserved in that to gain this world. We're preserved in that to the heavenly kingdom. And while we're here, we ought to serve him with all our heart. But we can take him at his word. When it gets rough, when it gets bad, the Lord's going to help us. He said, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand." You know what that tells me? That there is a time when we might be in the hand of the wicked. That tells me that there might be an opportunity where the wicked has the upper hand, and it seems that as though they're going to win. And it says, "And neither would kneel nor condemn him when he is judged." Now watch what he said to do when we get into this position. He said, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way." In other words, we wait for God to come. And boy, waiting is a hard thing, ain't it? Waiting is a hard thing. There was men and women and that cast into prison for what they believe. There's not one of us today in this United States of America can be put into prison for what we believe. Do you know that? There is no, as far as I know, there is no religious persecution. Let me say it again here. There is not to be no religious persecution for what you believe.
Well, preacher, these people over here don't believe like us. You think they ought to be able to worship however they want to? I sure do. If they want to worship a certain way and they want to believe a certain way, I'm all for them doing it. Why? I don't want nobody telling me how I should worship. Amen? Listen, I like having freedom to worship. They may be wrong. I'll tell them they're wrong. That's the great thing about free speech. You can tell folks they're wrong. Amen? They may hate your guts for it. You may wish that you hadn't told them that after they punch you in the nose for it. But you can tell them. But notice what he said right here. He said we do what? Wait on the Lord. So waiting is sometimes a hard thing to do. And I'm sure that those men and women that were cast into prison, I'm sure they found it hard to wait on God. I think about Hebrews chapter 11 at the very end. What was it that he told us over there about those living by faith? As I studied that scripture, that passage of scripture, and we've studied it here, it comes down through here in Hebrews 11 and tells us of all the great things that God done for those that live by faith. Tells how God delivered. Tells how God brought the children of Israel through. Tells how God started the nation of Israel, brought them out of Egypt. Gave Moses and that the law, and how that he chose him and that to bring them through. How that by faith they kept the Passover. Even talked about Rahab the harlot and what she done and how that she believed. And talked about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Jephthah and all those whose faith had done all those great things. But then it come to this portion here in verse 36. And others had trials, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Boy, that really wants to make you live by faith, don't it, tonight? Of whom, now look what your Bible said in verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. Can I tell you that during the time and that of the Roman Catholic persecution and that of the real church, friend, they murdered the church and killed the church, chased the church, followed them by blood in the snow to be able to try to get to them to kill them. I kind of wondered who I'd be during a time like that. You ever put yourself in a place like that? What you would do? How you would act and react? I think about that from time to time. What would I do? Would I have the intestinal fortitude? Would I have the trust and that in God and the Lord Jesus Christ that they would see me through no matter what? Would I be able to take Him at His word? Bible said they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Boy, that's a way to live, ain't it? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They just simply trusted God. We're going to die with the promise, you see, and that of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. These folk were believing God. Believing God. Listen tonight. Listen. When it looks bad, and it may be bad, and I'm going to tell you tonight, church, in persecution, if God don't do something, if the Lord Jesus Christ don't come, if God don't move on men and women's hearts, persecution's going to get worse. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's coming tonight. Listen, if you don't believe that, you're crippled too high for crutches tonight. Listen, things ain't going to go on the same way that they are. Something has to change tonight because folk are forsaking God. Listen, they're wicked tonight. They're watching the righteous, and I'll guarantee you there are people out there tonight would shut us down if they could. But then number three, taking God at His word, He said, you keep His way. And then look what He's saying. And He shall exalt thee. So, we believe God and we trust Him and that for salvation. We believe God and we trust that He's going to take care of it. We believe God and know that He will not leave us. We're going to wait on Him. We're going to keep His way. But then there is an exaltation to it. But notice there is a stipulation to that. First of all, we had to wait on Him and keep His way. Right? If they come to put us in jail today, well, they wouldn't do. If they come to put us in prison, how many of us would hold our hand up and say that we're a Christian that's serving the Lord? How many of us would want to tell folk that we're saved? God take Him at His word tonight. Look what He's saying. He said He would exalt thee. Now it was Job that the wicked one got to. Right? Satan being the wicked one. It was Job that Satan afflicted. But Job stayed faithful. Job waited on the Lord. He thought he was going to die. There was times he wanted to die. There was times that he just knew the grave was coming to get him and that the worms was going to have him. But friend, because he stayed faithful, he stayed true to God, he might have been sick. He might have been depressed. He might have been afflicted. He might have had miserable comforters for friends. But friend, one thing, he stayed true to God. So by chapter 42, you find that Job is exalted again. You know that, don't you? 42 chapters, 42 months in the tribulation. Job is the tribulation book. Let's see. Verse 7 of 42 in the book of Job. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right as my servant Job has. Man, Job is, as we've been studying this in Sunday school, he has... Man, they have compared Job to the wicked. They really have. They said, oh, you're to just see all the, if you've not read the book of Job, you're to go read it. But they just hammer on Job because they tell him, God would not allow anything like what is happening to you to happen to you. That's what they're saying. Job, if he was living for God, this would not have happened. You'd live in a mansion and have a Rolls Royce. I wish that were true. I'd settle for a Cadillac. Amen. Happy with what I got. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job. Now notice what he calls him, my servant. My servant Job. And offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray. Reckon what the Lord says about us. Reckon the Lord would say the same thing about us. Reckon he could put servant in front of my name. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Namathite, went and did according to the Lord command, as the Lord commanded him. The Lord also accepted Job.
And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now you go back to chapter 1 and you find out everything that Job had. And boy, he remained faithful through all the persecution, through all the oppression of the devil, through his health failing, through his family. I mean, just everybody and everything was against Job, and he remained faithful. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second was Kizah, and the name of the third Kirin Hapuk, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. How'd that happen? He remained faithful through it all. And when he remained faithful, when it got bad, and it'll get bad some days, there will be people against you. Your own family will. I got thinking about that today while I was looking over this message. Your own family will be against you. Your friends will turn on you. Job set out in dust and ashes and did not have a friend in the world. His 3 friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the Bible said that they made an appointment to come and comfort him. They did not come and comfort him. They come and they criticized him and they accused him, but they did not comfort him. God had hid his face from him, and all Job could see was the bad. There may come those days that all you can see is the bad. I've been requesting prayer for there was one preacher called me this week in need of in a prayer request for another preacher. His 2 granddaughters was killed in a car wreck. One was 11, one was 13. That's a bad day. That's not only a bad day for Mama and Papa, that was certainly a bad day for Mom and Daddy. I mean, not only did they have to go make one funeral arrangement, they had to go make 2. Think about that for just a second. Some of y'all have been to the funeral home and knows how depressing it is to go in there, heartbroken, and sit down and make an arrangement for a loved one that has lived of an old age and has been sick and wanted to go on to be with God. And it was hard enough to go in there and do that. But imagine all the weight and all the grief to go to a funeral home to bury your 2 granddaughters and to bury your 2 daughters. A friend that was just snuffed out. Imagine that for just a second. You want to tell me that Satan ain't going to start messing with your mind in that time? You're going to tell me that he ain't going to jump up on your shoulder and whisper to you, what use is it? Why would you go on and serve God? But he said right here, if we'd wait on the Lord and keep his way, He shall exalt us. Isaiah chapter 48 said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." It's not with the good things that God works the bad stuff out. It's under affliction that He does that. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on because we're fixing to close. We have had it so easy in this nation and had it so great as a church that folk don't care anymore. They don't care. We've got too much to do out there. Some of you all can remember the days of folk, I'll be honest with you, I think some folk used to come to church because there was nothing else to do on Sunday. I mean, let's just be honest about things. There was nothing else to do on Sunday, and folk would come to church. We've got too much to do today. So the Lord will help and save in verse 39 and verse 40, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? Trust in Him. Number four, last of all, look in verse 35 through verse 38. He will cut the wicked off. Now we're preaching on you to take God at His word. He said, "I've seen the wicked." You know, He said up here, "I've seen what? I've been young, now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." But in verse 35, He said, "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off." He will not forsake us. It may get bad, but He's not going to leave us He's not going to leave us. And when it gets bad, we should remain faithful to Him. He will exalt us in due time, but then He's going to cut off the wicked. Can I tell you that the Lord has the last say? The Lord has the last laugh, if you'd let me say that way. Proverbs chapter 1, we read it the other night. Proverbs 1 verse 22, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set naught at all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." God said, "I will have the last laugh with the wicked. I'm going to have it. They may turn me away, they may scorn me, they may laugh at me, they may sit and audit my counsel, they may not listen to nothing that I have to say, hey, but there's coming a day when they're going to fall into the hand of the living God, and it is a fearful thing to be there, and friend, they may call out then, but then it's too late." Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's a church that has been under persecution. Now I'm talking about taking God at His word now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look in verse 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Paul said his church is under persecution, they're under tribulation. And listen, he said, you've had patience and faith through it all. You've remained faithful. You've trusted God. You've waited on God. He said, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Let me ask you this tonight. Could he say the same thing about us? Would we be counted worthy of the kingdom of God tonight? He said, for which ye also suffer. Verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know what Paul said right here? He said, you can rest in the very fact that God's going to have the last say so. If you're troubled in your persecution, he said, God is going to recompense those that are against you. He said he's going to come in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Paul said you can rest in that. I want to get this said right, because I don't want to say it wrong by no means. There were those that were persecuting the church of Thessalonica. And you say, well, why would Paul tell them to rest in the very thought of when Jesus comes to take vengeance on them? Why would he not encourage them to pray for them and to pray that God would save them? Some things it's hard for me to understand. And in other passages of Scripture, he has said that. But right here, he is talking about those that have persecuted the church, that has troubled the church, and in no doubt, as we read in Proverbs chapter 1, and in Romans chapter 1, you'll find those that have crossed that line and have been turned over to that reprobate. No doubt this is who Paul is talking about. Paul said, God's going to come get them one day. And he said, for all those that have persecuted you, that have killed you, that have martyred you, he said, you can take rest in the very fact that God's going to win at the end. Can I tell you, we're not persecuted much, but we do have an adversary. And I'm not looking for persecution, but we do have an adversary. And I'm glad at the end of it all, Jesus is going to win. I hope that I'm there to see him cast in to the lake of fire. I hate him. I hate the devil. I know I got enough problem in my own self and in my own flesh, and I'm enough devil that I have to deal with my own self. But I'll be glad when I'm in that perfect body and I no longer have to deal with him, and it'll all be done. I'll be glad for that day. The Lord's going to have the last life and the last say-so. You can take him at his word tonight. I'm glad we got a book we can believe. And we can trust. Let's bow our heads tonight across the house. What about it tonight? Are you taking God at His word? Are you taking God at His word in salvation? Have you been saved? You can be. You taking God at His word that He'll keep you? Doubt creeping up. You need to get that nailed down. Trust in His word. Folk may be against us, may turn against us,
Listen, if we'll remain true to the Lord, He'll see us through to the very end. He's going to keep us no matter what. But He's going to keep us or see us through and exalt us at the end of it. Imagine if Job would have quit and would have just gave up. The whole ending of that book would have been different. All I wanted you to see tonight, and all I wanted to see, was the very fact that me and you can take God at His word. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will help us through it. He will be there all the way. And He's going to defeat our enemies for us. And He will exalt us. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight.